Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 147, and they want it to be read responsively. So I will read the first verse, and I would like to have the congregation read all the even-numbered verses. So I will read all the odd-numbered verses, and please read the even numbers yourself out loud. It's Psalms 147. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful.
The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel.
He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Great is our Lord, and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite.
The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground.
Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God.
Who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass grow on the mountains.
He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens that cry.
He does not delight in the strength of a horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of man.
The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy.
Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion.
For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He sends out his command to the earth. He gives word. His word runs very swiftly.
He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes.
He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold?
He sends out his word and melts them. He causes the wind to blow and the waters flow.
He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel.
He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them.
Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Happy Sabbath, everyone.
I was going to be grateful that the audience was relatively small today, but apparently we've been blessed with visitors, so that's good.
Amen.
In the spirit of talking about the origin of the hymns, this is an old Adventist hymn, which was apparently sung by James White, which I actually, you know, had the good fortune to once sing at Battle Creek Tabernacle, which I found, like, really fitting. But it's a lovely song. You will see your Lord a-coming. If you know it, you can feel free to join in.
You will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming, you will see your Lord a-coming in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. Gabriel sounds his mighty trumpet, Gabriel sounds his mighty trumpet, Gabriel sounds his mighty trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. Then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll shout our sufferings over, then we'll shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I had to hesitate there for a second just to make sure it still was morning. How many people came to hear a wonderful sermon today?
In song,
good, because that's what you're going to hear. I'm not a preacher, and I'm glad that it says in the bulletin that I'm a praise leader, because that's what I am, a praise leader. But I couldn't get up here without saying at least a few words, so I will. I don't get to go to adult Sabbath school too often. In fact, I think in the last maybe 3 to 4 years, I've been up here once, and that was within the last 3 months. And they were talking a lot about spiritual gifts and how you know your spiritual gifts and what you should do. And it came to me, well, maybe I could say something. Maybe I could be a preacher at one point. I don't know. I don't know if that's my calling in life to be a preacher. But I do enjoy sometimes speaking in public about my testimony, and that's what it would be. We're going to talk about praise. We're going to talk about some of the hymns that we're singing about praise and how they came to be, the commentary of them, but also a little testimony about how praise works in my life, and maybe give you some tips that you could use to make praise even more powerful in your life. So, for those who know me really well, you know that I always have these ideas. I will call them grandiose ideas, and they will just come to me, and I'll say, we have to do this idea right now. If you live with me, like my husband does, he gets to be the recipient of these ideas, and he gets to help me execute them. So I'll give you an example. I read in a book that the happiest families camp together. I don't like camping. I was in Pathfinders for years and years and years, and boy, we had some times when we camped and it rained and everything was soggy and But if we're going to be a happy family, then we're going to go camping. So I research the entire web, and I find this YMCA camp that says that they have, I'll call it camping, but it's not really. You go in a cabin, and they have running water, and, you know, you kind of feel like you're at camp, but it's good enough. So we go there, and the first time we went there, oh, boy, it wasn't a happy family that got there the first night. It was a little crazy. I got lost, and we didn't get there until midnight. Oh, it was terrible. Then there was the time that I decided that the entire church should go to Sight and Sound. We had no money, no bus, and I wasn't sure how we were going to get 50 people down 5 hours away to Sight and Sound. Well, I tell you, we did it. God gave us the help, and we were able to take, I can't remember how many people, to Sight and Sound, and I made sandwiches. But of course, I couldn't just make them with regular bread. I had to bake all of the loaves of bread to make the sandwiches. That's my ideas of grandiose ideas. Or sometimes I think, oh, I don't want to do the career that I'm doing anymore. I want to do something else. I think I'll open a bed and breakfast. Pedro just looks at me. Oh, lady. Oh. But see, when I have these ideas, then I go about and then I start to sell them. And if I ever come to you and I go, I want to sell you an idea, it probably means that I have this, what I would call off-the-wall idea that I think I can execute somewhere along the lines, but I'm going to have to sell it to you first so that you will go along with it. And usually people are so nice in Albany, they just say, sure, Helen, sure, we can make that happen. Even if it takes us staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning to put together your Winter Wonderland Christmas fantasy of a Christmas party, you know, we'll do that for you. So my latest idea that I've sold to my family is that we should go on vacation at least once a year, and what we're going to do is we're going to go get an apartment in some city, and we'll go around and we'll learn all about that city and get to know it. So that's what happened last week. We decided to go to New York City, and I researched it on the web, and I found an apartment in Harlem, New York. So, of course, it's sight unseen, you know, but you got pictures. You got pictures, a few pictures. So we trot on down to Harlem, and the apartment was actually quite nice. It was all of us together in a little studio. They sectioned off the area for the bedroom, and we decided to go see all of New York City. Wonderful time. So I scheduled a lot of tours. We were going to do a tour of the whole city. We were going to do the Intrepid. We went to the UN, NBC Studios, you name it, we went all over. But one of the tours that we did was a tour of Harlem. And this little old man, I know you guys have met my father once or twice, but he kind of moves like my father. This man was 85 years old, and he was walking like a 40-year-old. He trotted all over Harlem with the five of us, the three of us in my family, and a couple of people who didn't speak any English at all, and I don't think knew what was going on at all. But this gentleman was going from place to place, and he was telling us all about Harlem and some of the history that had been there, and it was very educational. And then finally, it ended up in a Baptist church. And before we could even walk in, we were met at the door by probably a deacon who said, there's going to be three parts of this service. There's going to be a praise time, there's going to be a giving time, and there's going to be a preaching time. And we want to make sure that you're participating in all three parts of it. Okay. So we go in, and essentially what happened was this church was having their prayer meeting that night, and they had a gospel choir who came up and they sang, and then they had a time when they were able to talk about prayer and praises, just much like we do in our church. And then finally a preacher came up who happened to be this famous basketball player. Pedro likes basketball, so he was ecstatic to this player. I don't even know who it was, Vin somebody other from the Seattle Seahawks, and he went up and he preached a sermon. So I was very struck by the praise. And one of the things that they did was a lady came up and she had this huge white turban on her head. And she went over to the piano and she strikes a dramatic chord. And then she starts to sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me," and sings a song. And she gets the whole entire audience, which happened to be our tour, plus at least 300 people from other tours filling this church, all to sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." And then up came the choir, and they started to sing a song, and they were saying, "Oh, whoa, 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 whoa." And then the other part would go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." And they were singing louder and louder and louder, and people were clapping, and my little foot was tapping. And they sang this song about, "We worship and adore you. We lift your name on high." And what a praise service that was. How wonderful it was to have Wednesday night prayer meeting filled with people. And two, to hear people who had remarkable voices praising God. Amen. That's what this is about. It's not about my ideas. It's not about my testimony. But it's about praising God. Sometimes we hear sermons, and those are appealing to us. But sometimes we can praise God just through looking in our hymnals and just by singing the words. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to hear a little bit about the commentary of the hymns we're going to sing. Of course, I try to make them go along with the word praise, so they're all printed in your hymnal. your bulletin there today. And we're going to talk just briefly about tips for a successful, purposeful praise life. The number one tip that I have for you is to praise often. We're blessed to be in a church where every single week we have a prayer and praise time, and you have an opportunity to talk to God about what you are thankful for, or what you need from him in front of everybody, and what a blessing that is. So I encourage you to not only praise on Sabbath, but to praise every day of the week. And the first song that we're going to sing is going to be number 4, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. But before we do that, I just want to tell you a little bit about it. Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. This is a very free paraphrase of Psalms 103, first printed in a collection of 280 Psalms Lent made for its own congregation in Devonshire, England in 1843, the Psalms of the Spirit of the Psalms, where the psalm uses, Praise the Lord, O my soul. Lent changes it to the more exuberant, Praise my soul, the King of Heaven. The stanza omitted is, Frail as summer's flower we flourish, blows the wind and it is gone. But while mortals rise and perish, God endures unchanging on. Praise him, hallelujah, praise the high eternal one. In an era when many were insisting that versions of the psalm should be as close to the original wording as possible, the title of this book shows that he was breathing new life into these ancient words, using his own words while preserving the spirit. Henry Francis Lent was born June 1st, 1793 in Edham, Scotland. He was raised as an orphan and became a scholar at Trinity College, Dublin. For a time, he considered studying medicine, but changed to theology. In 1823, he became pastor of a little fishing village, Lord Brixham, in Devonshire, England, where he stayed 24 years until his death in 1847. He gave himself wholeheartedly to the area. These were rough people of the sea. At one time, he had nearly 800 children in the Sunday school with some 70 teachers. Under a busy program, his health broke down, and in spite of going to the Riviera to recover from tuberculosis, he died at the age of 54. Other hymns that are credited to him are number 25, Praise the Lord, His Glories Show, number 50, Abide with Me, and number 325, Jesus, I, My Cross Have Taken. Laudem Anium, the Latin for Praise My Soul, another name by which this tune is known, first appeared in the Supplemental Hymn and Tune Book, 1869. It was set to this text in unison with organ accompaniment and four-part a cappella singing. Eric Rutley, in his Music of Christian Hymns, 1891, calls this tune a masterpiece of simplicity and effectiveness, the only good tune that has remained in currency that will last as long as hymnody lasts. The tune is noteworthy for the last score of melody, which is based on the descending scale, and for the harmony of the second score of the second setting, where the bass part ascends in an almost complete chromatic scale. Sir John Goose was born December 27, 1800 in Fareham, England. His father was an organist, and he naturally took to music, becoming at age 11 a choir singer at the Chapel Royal in London. For a time, he considered going into opera singing, but decided for organ, serving in two churches before going to St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Here, he built a reputation of distinction over 34 years, directing, playing, and composing. He taught harmony at the Royal Academy of Music. Queen Victoria knighted him in 1872. He wrote some 50 anthems and services, many hymn tunes, and a textbook on harmony. Some British hymnologists consider him only second to Samuel S. Wisley among 19th century church musicians. He died at Brixton, London on May 10th, 1880, and was buried in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. We're going to sing number 4, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Forgiven, who distress. Praise him still the same forever. So to chide and swift to bless. Praise him, praise him, hallelujah. Glorious in his faithfulness. Tenderly he shields and spares us. While a feeble frame he knows. In his hands he gently bears us. Rescues us from all our foes. Praise him, praise him, hallelujah. Widely as his mercy flows. Angels help us to adore him. He behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him. Dwellers all in time and space. Praise him, praise him, hallelujah. Praise with us the God of grace.
My next tip, after praise him often, is to be sincere and avoid exaggeration. I was reading in my little Kindle book here, coming into the 20th century, a devotional that I thought was appropriate. It's very short. But it talked about a woman named Vanessa watching her husband eating the dinner she spent so much time preparing. She wondered if he liked the new recipe, but why even bother asking? He gave the same answer, whether it was new food, new clothes, a new car. It's all right. Vanessa had tried explaining she needed to hear some more positive feedback and affirmation once in a while, but he just shrugged and he said he wasn't into that sort of thing. I have a funny story about that. When Pedro and I first got married, I've been married for 8 years now, but when we first got married, Pedro's a love language is words of affirmation. So whenever I would cook something, he would say, "That's great, honey. This tastes so great. That's great." Well, my love language is not words of affirmation. So it's like, what's wrong with you? It's rice. it tastes okay, I think. You know, it's great. It's really great. But he would be always so sincere. And I was very thankful for it. Because all of us need to hear words of affirmation sometimes from people we care about. Giving compliments sometimes doesn't come naturally to people. It might be their personality, it might be their childhood, but as time passes, even verbally supportive spouses or parents or friends often drop the habit of complimenting each other. Developing the habit might seem uncomfortable at first, but it's amazing how sincere praise can really build up a relationship. The next song that we're going to sing is the song 337, Redeemed. This is very short commentary. These words were written by Francis James Crosby, based on Lamentations 3:58. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. There were five stanzas in the original. This hymn has numbers 1, 2, and 5. Stanzas 3 and 4 will be found as stanzas 2 and 3 in the next hymn, number 338. The tune was composed by William James Kirkpatrick and appears in his Songs of Redeeming Love, published in 1882 by him and three collaborators. The last stanza has the word saints substituted for the original two-syllable words spirits, even though the latter is a direct quotation from the spirits of just men made perfect, Hebrews 12:23. We're going to sing number 337, Redeemed.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me, and soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever.
So far, I've talked about praise often and be sincere, avoid exaggeration. Number three is be specific. Describe why you're praising God. I struggle with this sometimes because in my title at work, I have to evaluate people. And sometimes, yeah, don't know what to say. She's really nice. She's a good person. And that can be the weakest kind of an evaluation. People don't want to hear that they're nice. They want to hear why you think they're nice. They want to hear why you like working with them. And so I always take a little bit of extra time to put some specific examples about why I think you're a nice person. Maybe no matter what happens, you never lose your cool. Or maybe even if there's a worse snowstorm that's happened in the capital region in 20 years, you still show up on time. Those are the kinds of things that you want to hear, right? So don't you think God wants to hear the same things from us? God likes to hear words of praise from his children, but sometimes we skip that element of praise in our prayer. We just rush to our list of needs and wants. We kind of say, oh, thank you, God, for being God. Thanks for being Lord of the universe. Oh, okay. And now, God, I need in your car. When we meditate on God's many praiseworthy qualities, it helps our faith grow and it strengthens our relationship with him. Our problem seems smaller, and we find it hard to be negative when we're affirming, while our God is better than any other, there are no other gods, just him. The next song that we're going to sing is Amazing Grace, number 108. John Newton wrote this. He never ceased to thank God for his saving grace in transforming him from a slave captain and later a slave himself to a Christian minister. In this hymn, originally titled Faith Review and Expectation, he emphasizes the grace of God that he himself experienced. The hymn is his personal testimony based on David's humble remarks recorded in 1 Chronicles 17, 16 and 17. Who am I, O Lord God, and what is mine house? Thou hast regarded me according to the state of a man of high degree, O Lord God. The final stanza often associated with this hymn, beginning, when we've been there 10,000 years, is not Newton's. Erroneously attributed to John Reed in some books and in first printings of the Seventh-day Adventist hymnal, it was synonymous as a final hymn to Jerusalem, my happy home, in the Baptist Songster in 1829. The tune, New Britain, is of unknown origin. Its earliest publication in America was in the Virginia Harmony, 1831. After this, it was picked up by most of the shape note oblong tune books and became a great favorite at camp meetings and singing conventions. John Pulham Jackson, in his Spiritual Folk Songs of Early America, documents a version he heard sung with florid grace notes in every measure. The popularity of this tune throughout the years was highlighted in 1972 when a recording without the words was made by the band of the Royal Scots Dragon Guards, a British regiment stationed in Germany. 375,000 copies sold in a short time in Britain. Folk singer Judy Collins also made a hit recording of the song at the same time. The SDA arrangement is made by Robert J. Bastinti, who at this writing is president of the Hymn Society of America. For 30 years, he has been a church organist and museum. For 20 of those years, he served at St. Barbara's Catholic Church in the Chicago suburbs of Brookfield, Illinois, where he developed five choirs, 17 cantors, and a musical staff of eight. A conductor, speaker, and clinician throughout North America, he is the author of numerous articles on church music for The Hymn and other magazines. Let's sing number 108, Amazing Grace. Sincere, be specific, and next is don't overlook the written praise. Have you ever heard these words?
I sing the goodness of the Lord that fills the earth with food. He forms the creatures with his word and then pronounces them good. Well, that's really powerful. And sometimes we sing these songs, we don't even notice what we're singing. I was just reading the middle stanza of hymn number 88. I sing the mighty power of God. We believe in the God of the universe, correct? Amen. He can do so many things. We had a speaker come a long time ago who said sometimes if you can't think of anything to praise, just read a psalm. Read a prayer psalm, and as you're reading it, pray about what you're reading and what a difference that would make. I sing the mighty power of God. These words by Isaac Watts appear in his Divine Songs for Children. The thoughts are taken from the creation account in Genesis 1 and the creation psalm, Psalm 104. Originally, there were 8 stanzas of 4 lines each. The first 6 were changed to 3 stanzas of 8 lines. Marina is a woman's name, but we know of no special reason for it being chosen for this tune. It is one of Root's best-known tunes, first appearing in the Sabbath Bell, 1859, where it is said to be from Rink to GFR. This is Hendrik Rink. The tune appears under his name in Phillips Metric Tune Book, 1898. George Root was born August 30th, 1820, in Sheffield, Massachusetts, to a family who believed in training their children to habits of industry or work ethic and teaching them the strictest morality and religion. As a small boy, he did not sing much, but made up for it in learning to play every possible instrument. At age 13, he could play 13 instruments. He dreamed of making music his whole life, but this was not a vocation looked upon with favor by any except his mother. While his father was away on a trip to South America, at age 18, George went to live with and work for Mr. Johnson, a piano teacher in Boston. For his pay, young George received $3 a week, board and room, and piano lessons. In a few weeks, he was playing for prayer meeting and teaching some of the beginning pupils. By 1841, Root was a teacher of musical teachers, assistant mason in his work. Moving to New York in 1844, he taught music at Rutgers Female Institute, Abbott's School of Young Ladies, Union Theology Seminary, and the New York Institute for the Blind, where interestingly, Fanny Crosby was one of his pupils. In 1859, he moved to Chicago and devoted himself to writing, publishing, and conducting normals, or summer learning sessions for music teachers, which he, with Mason, originated. With his brother and C.M. Cady, they formed Root and Cady Music Publishers, which very successfully marketed popular songs about the Civil War. In the destruction caused by the Chicago fire, their firm lost about $250,000. Most of the printing plates were saved and they sold out to the John Church Company. Root continued with his writing and conventions until his death August 6, 1895 at his summer home on Bailey Island, Maine. Root also wrote the music for When He Cometh, Oh, Where Are the Reapers, and for The Lord Is in His Holy Temple. Let's sing number 88, I Sing the Mighty Power of God. I sing the mighty power of God that makes the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and build the lofty sky. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the day. The moon shines full at his command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that fills the earth with food. He formed the creature with his word and then pronounced them good. Lord, how thy wonders are have displayed, where I turn my eye, if I survey the ground I tread, or gaze upon the sky. There's not a plant or flower below that makes thy glories known, and clouds arise and tempests blow by order from thy throne. Creatures that borrow life from thee are subject to thy care. There's not a place where we can flee, but God is present there.
Our next song is going to be 195. I was expecting it to be raining by now. It's so hot and muggy. It's not, but that's okay. Have you ever given a gift for no reason at all? Yeah. It's the best feeling of all, don't you think? Have you ever received one? You just get a gift and you're like, what am I getting this for? No reason, right? Maybe the person says, well, your birthday, like I did recently, well, you know, your anniversary was 6 months ago and your birthday's next month, and I'm going to give you this gift now because I won't remember it when those two events come up. So guess what? You're getting a gift today. But do you know that God does that for us all the time, yeah. Right? I mean, I used to never say praises often. I would say, well, I don't really have anything to praise God for. But then I realized, you know what? I got food this week. And maybe I didn't think I would. Or I went to work and there was some special luncheon going on and I got a free lunch. Or my car went a little bit further on that tank of gas. There's so many things to praise God for. When I got out of college, here's another of my grandiose ideas. When I got out of college, I decided that I didn't have enough education, even though I'd been in college for 7.5 years, but I needed more education. So first, I decided to do postgraduate training. So I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking, gee, my parents really, they were very liberal, because I decided that I was going to apply to all of these jobs in essentially the East Coast. So I rented a car, and I drove from Florida to Georgia to North Carolina, South Carolina, West Virginia, and Maryland, all in this big, like, 3-week swoop. And I like called them once a day or something. And I was interviewing at all of these different jobs. Eventually, I settled on Maryland. I had an old car, but my younger sister needed it. So it was yanked from me and given to her. And then I had to buy my own car because I had a little bit of money at that point. So I decided to drive a stick shift. I had never driven a stick shift before in my life. I had to learn in 3 weeks, and then my parents were not available. I'm one of three kids, so they had to do something with the other two kids. And I drove by myself from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to Baltimore, Maryland, in a stick shift that I didn't know how to drive 3 weeks after I got it. So I drive all the way up there, and I get to this apartment that I had gone ahead and rented ahead of time, and I hate it. So now I'm stuck. I have all my clothes in the car. I have everything that I, quote unquote, own in the car. And I hate this apartment that I'm in. So I look in the newspaper. I find another apartment. I drive out there. I love it. And I sign a lease, and I'm able to move in on Monday. Blessing, right? So I start my job. They're not paying me too much money. And I don't remember how much I was making. Or all I remember is that at the end, after all of my expenses were paid, I had $20. That's it, for the month. And if you know me real well, you know that I only carry $20 all the time. Kind of comes from that. But I never have more than $20. And that was what I had for spending money for the entire month, $20. Okay, so then I had made this pact with God that I would give whatever I had in my wallet for offering. So If I had a dollar, then I would give a dollar for offering. If I had nothing, then I would give nothing. And that was it. Well, one day, I open up my purse, and usually what I would do is I would go break that $20 up, you know, $5 this week and $5 next week. And I only had the $20. And it was just like, what do I do now? Do I give the $20? God, you would understand, right? This is my last $20. You know, I don't want to give it now. I'm not going to have anything. This is my money for the month. What would you do? Would you give the $20? Would you keep it in your wallet? Well, you know what? I gave the $20. And within a few days, my mom, out of the bureau, had written a check for around the same amount and sent it to me. And that's happened to me so many times that I always tell people, don't hold back what you have, because if you give, God will give to you. There's always those showers of blessings. Sometimes people will, I'll be wanting to give some money, and I think, I really don't want to give money right now. Oh, I can't really afford it. And I'll give that money, and within a few days, it happened to me recently, within the last year, an appeal had come up at church, and I really don't want to give anything. And I gave half the amount of money that I was expecting, that I could have given. I gave half. I really don't feel like giving more. And within days, I had picked up a shift, and guess what? I got half a shift. I picked up a half a shift, which was half of the money that I gave. Because if I'd given the whole money, he would have given me a whole shift. But because I only gave half the money, so I only got a half shift. So I just want to encourage you that God is there. God knows the intents of your heart, and He knows it what you need. Don't be afraid, because He will shower you with blessings. The words of this favorite gospel hymn were written by a successful American evangelist of the late 19th century. They're based on God's promise to Israel through the prophet Ezekiel. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Ezekiel 34:26. Major Daniel Webster Whittle was born October 22, 1840 in Massachusetts. While a young man, he moved to Chicago and took a job as a cashier in Wells Fargo Bank. During the Civil War, he had the rank of second lieutenant and was provost marshal at General Howard's staff during General's March to the Sea. After losing his right arm at the Battle of Vicksburg, Whittle was taken prisoner by Confederates. He became a Christian after reading a copy of the New Testament given to him by his mother. After the close of the war, he was promoted to the rank of major, and that was part of his name for the rest of his life. After a short term as treasurer at the Engle Watch Company, he met evangelist D.L. Moody and accepted God's call to devote his life to the winning of souls for God's kingdom. Whittle is the author of Moment by Moment, a favorite of this congregation, and of I Know Whom I Have Believed. For many of his song texts, he uses the pseudonym L. Nathan. James McGanahan was born July 4, 1840, on a farm near Adamsville, Pennsylvania. From childhood, he showed a great talent for music and a desire to go to the city and study. Because he was needed on the farm, his father rejected that idea, but James offered to hire a man to take his place. He went to town, got a job, and was successful in making enough money to care for his own expenses and paid the hired man. Upon this, his father relented. At age 19, James was already teaching singing classes. After attending the Normal Music School in New York, he connected with J.F. Towner to conduct musical conventions and singing schools in New York and Pennsylvania. Teachers with whom he studied in New York and Chicago were impressed with his beautiful voice and advised a career in opera. For 3 years, he was a teacher in George F. Root's Normal Musical Institute, gaining a reputation as a cultured musician, soloist, director of choruses, and composers. James was also a pioneer in the use of male voices for gospel singing. During a meeting in Massachusetts, almost all the women singers were unable to sing for a time. Showing his versatility, he rearranged the music for male voices, and the meetings proceeded with great power. He co-edited with George Devins and Irek Sankey Gospel Hymns numbers 3 through 6. It was number 4 of the series that Showers of Blessing was first printed in 1883. In 1887, his health broke down, and he retired to his home in Ohio, where he continued to compose music. Some of his best compositions were written during these years. He was not prolific, but a good share of ones he wrote are still used, bringing blessings to millions. George Stebbins said of him, "The most notable features of his work as a composer were originality as expressed in his attractive and flowing melodies, his skill in the treatment of his themes, and painstaking care in adapting his music to the truth to be sung." He died July 7th, 1907. His other tunes, all unnamed, or It May Be at Morn, number 207, I Will Sing of My Redeemer, number 343, and I Know Whom I Have Believed, number 511. Let's sing Showers of Blessings, number 195. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of God. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing. Come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing. Now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are calling, but for the showers we plead. So, this is our last song. We talked about praising often. We talked about being sincere, avoiding exaggeration, being specific, describing, not overlooking written praise, giving a gift for no reason at all, and finally we've gotten to our last song. I'll be honest with you, there's not too many songs that start with the letter E. So I was kind of limited to what I could pick that you would know. So Eternal Father, Strong to Save is what I came up with. It always reminds me of a Navy song, and you'll hear about it in just a few minutes. But I thought the words were appropriate. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm has bound the restless wave. You know, God is the God of the universe. He is the one who can save us from our sins. And I pray in a special way that you have gotten a blessing from this praise service, that you will rededicate your lives to God, that if you're a new babe in Christ, that you will take this and run with it, that you will become a praise warrior. And I'll just read the ending of this and we'll sing it. The author and the composer of this hymn lived almost contemporaneously and both died at age 53. First published in the original edition of Hymns Ancient and Modern, 1861, it bore the caption, "For Those at Sea." These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, Psalms 107:24. It was altered several times, once by the author, but except for a couple of small changes, like "Our Brethren" and stanza 4 becoming "All Travelers," the SDA hymnal uses the original version as found in the Episcopal Hymnal, 1940. It has come to be known as the Navy Hymn and is sung regularly at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. William Whiting was born November 1, 1825. His father was a grocer in Kensington, London. At age 16, William entered the Winchester Training Institute. The very next year, his musical ability got him the job of master of the Winchester College Choristers' School, a 16-boy choir whose tradition went all the way back to 1382. Besides singing in the chapel, the boys waited tables for the college boys in the dining hall, wearing uniforms with swallowtail coats. Whiting stayed on as leader of this group for 35 years until his death in 1878. Two collections of his poetry were published, but he is remembered solely for this hymn, which has found its way into countless hymnals. It is not so strange that a prayer for safety on the sea would come from an inlet boys' school. Winchester is only 12 miles from England's second greatest port, and 22 miles away is a great naval base at Portsmouth. Bailey in the Gospel in Hymn says, "I have crossed the Atlantic 49 times, and to the best of my recollection, this hymn was sung at morning prayer every Sunday we were at sea under the British flag." Melinda is a Roman version of Malta, the island where Paul was shipwrecked while traveling as a prisoner in Rome. This tune was written by John B. Dykes, especially for Whiting's words, and was published with them. It has been one of those happy marriages of text and tune that is universally considered permanent. Dyke's style, which greatly influenced later hymn tune composers, is characterized by interesting melodic parts for alto, tenor and bass, and the use of chromatism, considered by some to be too romantic, but by others to be expressive and beautiful. We're going to sing number 85, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save."
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm has bound the restless wave, who bids the mighty oceans deep his own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee, on the foaming deep, and calm amidst its rage does sleep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, Holy Spirit, who upon the waters dark and rude, and bids their angry turmoil cease, and give for a while confusion peace. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril. from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoever they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad hymns of praise from land and sea.
Amen.
Our closing hymn will be number 249, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Let us stand.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, by His dark angels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guide His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love abundant, wonderful, deep and strong. Excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus Savior reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming, over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Father God in heaven, we praise You. We thank You for being our Savior, our friend, our confidant, our King. I pray that as we leave, all of us will continue to have a safe week, a productive week, and a prayerful week. In Your name, amen.
Amen.
Dismiss us, Lord, with blessing we pray, as from Thy worship.